Dick's Liquor wants to remind you, if you're going to drink, drink responsibly. Dick's Liquor has the widest selection of beer, like Schlitt-faced beer or Beerios. And cold? Fuck yeah. Our beer is so cold it will remind you of your ex's heart. Stop into Dick's Liquors and stock up. Dick's Liquor located in the SNM Family Fun Center Plaza, next to the Shack of Sit.
Due to the extreme nature of this program, listener discretion is advised. The subject matters may include topics of substance usage, sex, historical events that may be sensitive to some listeners, and foul language. Things discussed may not be considered politically correct in this overly sensitive environment. They may not be appropriate for listeners under the age of 13. As well as some listeners may find things offensive no matter the age, again, listener discretion is advised.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome to the next episode of GXO, Generation Extraordinary, the podcast nobody asked for, focusing on everything that's relevant to the greatest generation alive today, Generation X. So if it involves movies, music, TV, and a bit of history from 1960 through 1999, we're going to talk about it. Who knows? You might just learn something before it's all said and done. And if you're lucky, this grouchy old fart might just regale you with a story or two. I'm Robert Pop, coming to you from beautiful Podunk, Nebraska.
Come wet your plants at the Dirty Ho Garden Center. This weekend, we are having a step-by-step workshop so you can learn when the best time of the month is to get plowed, not to mention when the peak time is for fertilization. We have all the right flowers to spruce up your flower bed, not to mention all of our little pollinators. Check out our hairy stamens at the Dirty Ho.
Looking for a sectional couch? Maybe a new recliner? How about a futon? Or what about a beanbag? Come on into the Shack of Sit. At the Shack of Sit, we have the widest selection of places to rest your derriere. The Shack of Sit has the right spot for you to take a load off. Kids are welcome, because we know the little sitters need a place to park it as well. Shack of Sit also has a plus-size selection. The Big Shack of Sit, right off the main shack. Big sitters, little sitters, all sitters can find what you are looking for at the Shack of Sit, located in between Knobs and Knockers, Cabinet Shop, and Dick's Liquors in the SNM Family Fun Center Plaza on Highway 6.
The views and opinions expressed are just that, Rob's views and opinions. He is not always politically correct, and they may not match up with your own opinions. It is not his intentions to offend anyone. Hopefully you find the shows entertaining and informative as well. Please note, Rob is not a professional historian, but he has done a lot of research for this show. With that being said, mistakes happen, but he will do his best to minimize those. Keep in mind, Rob is just some nut with a microphone.
Greetings and salutations, and welcome to this week's episode of GXO, Generation Extraordinary, the podcast nobody asked for. This week, going to be jumping in that old time machine, headed back to the year 1963. We're going to be talking about the birth of the X-Men to finalize our comic book hero episodes. But as always, we're going to take our history lesson. So, students, in 1963 in Russia and Soviet Union, First Secretary of the Central Committee of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union was Nikita Khrushchev. Here in the United States, we had President John F. Kennedy until November 22nd, and then from then on, Lyndon Baines Johnson, because duck, Mr. President? Too soon? Maybe not. I don't know. In the United Kingdom, Harold Macmillan was Prime Minister until the 19th of October, and then from the 20th of October, Sir Alec Douglas Home. You just kind of have to feel like you, Sir Alec Douglas Home. Anyway, top headlines for that year, of course, the assassination of JFK and his accused shooter, Lee Harvey Oswald. Alcatraz closed. It first began on July 1st, 1934, and some of the famous inmates included gangster Al Capone, George Machine Gun Kelly, Robert Stroud, also known as the Birdman of Alcatraz, and James Whitey Bulger. Due to high cost of maintenance and repairs, they closed it on March 21st, 1963. The Soviet Union launched the Vostok 6 spacecraft carrying Valentina Tereshkova. Okay, I'm gonna go with that. The first woman in space. Actually, I don't think that's correct. You know, because I grew up watching reruns of The Honeymooners, and I think Alice Cramden was the first woman in space because, you know, Ralph would say, "To the moon, Alice." Here in the United States, we implemented the zip codes for the first time. The Profuma crisis in the UK, causing resignations from the cabinet caused by War Minister John Profuma having an affair with Christina Wheeler, who was also involved with a Soviet Navy officer. Wow. Studebaker went out of business. The nation of Yugoslavia became the Socialist Federal Republic of Yugoslavia in April of that year, and the country's leader, Josip Broz Tito, was also named as the president for life. President for life. I think that's got a different name. I think that's dictator. South Korea returned to civilian rule. In Greece, a bloodless military coup deposes President George Papadopoulos. You know, I'm always finding names and different words that are fun to say. Papadopoulos happens to be probably one of the greatest names that I think I've come across since I started doing the podcast. President Papadopoulos. The Sabin oral polio vaccine, which was taken with a lump of sugar, is given nationwide in the United States and the UK. Members of the Ku Klux Klan, fucking Klan, members of the KKK dynamite a Baptist church in Birmingham, Alabama, killing four young girls, causing a U.S.-wide public outrage and condemnation for the action. Fucking Klan. Nuclear-powered attack submarine USS Thresher sinks in the Atlantic Ocean. Now, I know that that's probably not, like, huge headlines because, I mean, that's what submarines do. They sink. Problem was, this one never came back up. Bad deal. The United States and the Soviet Union agreed to establish a quote-unquote hotline on June 20th, a direct communication system between the two nations to prevent a possible nuclear war. Well, if they weren't, those two just had a fucking pissing contest. Fucking Kennedy. Fucking Khrushchev. March on Washington, civil rights rally held by 200,000 blacks and whites in Washington, D.C. Martin Luther King Jr. delivers his I Have a Dream speech from the Lincoln Memorial. And I actually stood on that spot, which I thought was really fucking cool. James Meredith becomes the first African-American to graduate from the University of Mississippi. There are now 15,000 U.S. military advisors in South Vietnam. The first liver transplant is performed by F.D. Moore and T.E. Starzl. The sedative Valium is developed by Roche Labs. So, thank you for giving us the chill pill. Michael E. DeBakey implants an artificial heart in a human for the first time in Houston. Notable deaths that year, as I've already said, JFK and Lee Harvey Oswald, radio star Dick Powell, Sabu from the live-action Jungle Book from 1942, author C.S. Lewis, country singer Patsy Cline, and finally, poet Robert Frost. Average cost of living, 1963. Average cost of a new house, $12,650. Average income for that year, $5,807. Average cost of a new car, $3,200. Cost of a gallon of gas, 29 cents. Loaf of bread, 22 cents. Oven-ready turkeys, 39 cents a pound. Sirloin steaks, 89 cents per pound. Yes, please. Eggs, 45 cents a dozen. Good God. You know, when I read these, and I'd just been to the grocery store, and I bought two steaks in one package, and it was $26 for that. And those were the cheap ones. This fucking inflation is out of control. In the music store, top five songs in the U.S., Go Away, Little Girl by Steve Lawrence. That song is just creepy to me. I don't know. I never liked Steve Lawrence. He's So Fine by the Chiffons. Not a big fan of that song. Blue Velvet by Bobby Vinton. Bobby Vinton was regarded as one of the greatest artists in my house. Not because I thought so, but because my mother had a huge crush on him. Hey Paula by Paul and Paula. And My Boyfriend's Back by The Angels. You better get the fuck out of Dodge. Top five songs on the R&B chart. Now we're talking some decent music. Louie Louie by The Kingsmen. It's All Right by The Impressions. I love that song. As Long as I Know He's Mine by The Marvelettes. Not a fan of that song. Busted by Ray Charles. And Anyone Who Had a Heart by Dionne Warwick. Top five songs on the country chart. Love's Gonna Live Here Again by Buck Owens. God, I hate Buck Owens. 90 Miles an Hour Down a Dead End Street by Hank Snow. I like Hank Snow. Thanks a Lot by Ernest Tubb. I love that song. 500 Miles Away from Home by Bobby Bear. Never really got into Bobby Bear. And Talk Back Tremblin' Lips by Ernest Ashwood. Like that song. Top one hit wonders for that year. We got a few earworms in there. And rather than me just introducing them, I'm going to play a little bit for you so that way there you can enjoy that going through your head the rest of the day. So, first song was Rhythm of the Rain by the Cascades. I'm not going to play that one. Wipeout. Everybody knows that song. Wipeout by the Surferiths. Here's your first earworm. The Exciters with Tell Him. Decent song. Sukiyaki by Kayu Sakamoto. And finally, the worst earworm, and I don't even know what to even say to this. They played this on one of the American Horror Stories, like every fucking episode, and it is such an earworm. It gets in your head, and it will not go away. It's Dominique by the Singing Nun.
Dominique et Nika Nika s'en allaient tout simplement, routier, pauvre et chantant. En tout chemin, en tout lieu, ils ne parlent que du bon Dieu, ils ne parlent que du bon Dieu.
À l'époque où Jean sans terre d'Angleterre était le roi, Dominique, notre père, combattit les albigeois.
Dominique et Nika Nika s'en allaient tout simplement, routier, pauvre et chantant. En tout chemin, en tout lieu, il ne parle que du bon Dieu, il ne parle que du bon Dieu.
Certains jours, un hérétique par des ronces le conduit, mais notre père Dominique par sa joie le convertit.
Dominique et Nicanique s'en allait tout simplement, routier, pauvre et chantant. En tout chemin, en tout lieu, il ne parle que du bon Dieu, il ne parle que du bon Dieu.
You're welcome. And now that you have that rattling around your head rent-free, on to the crime beat. A couple of days after JFK's November 1963 assassination, Barry Keenan led Frank Sinatra's son, 19-year-old Frank Sinatra Jr., out of his hotel room in Lake Tahoe at gunpoint. He drove him to a house in Los Angeles where he locked him up for 4 days and demanded $240,000 in ransom from superstar Frank Sinatra. Keenan and his co-conspirators got their money but were caught and arrested soon after Jr. was released. Later convicted in a widely covered court case, Keenan was 23 years old at the time of his plot. He was a UCLA student and a grad school classmate of Nancy Sinatra, Frank Jr.'s sister. After a car accident earlier that year that caused a back injury and left him in chronic pain, Keenan became addicted to Percodan, muscle relaxers, and tranquilizers. His addiction bankrupted him. So he concocted the plan because, you know, fueled in a drug withdrawal rage, he decided that it would be a good idea to kidnap Frank Jr. for ransom, which he would invest and said later when he was back on his feet, pay back. I decided upon Jr. because Frank Sr. was tough, and I had friends who had parents that were in show business, and I knew Frank always got his way. Keenan told the Los Angeles Times in 1998, quote, "It wouldn't be morally wrong to put him through a few hours of grief worrying about his son." Well, isn't that kind? So Keenan recruited his high school friend Joe Amsler and his mother's former boyfriend John Irwin, and together they planned this deed. After a few aborted attempts, both in Arizona and Los Angeles, Keenan learned that Frank Jr. was headed to Lake Tahoe and would set off for Europe after that. Aware that this would be their last chance, Keenan and the group made the trip. And on Sunday, December 8, 1963, at 9, Keenan and Amsler entered Frank Jr.'s hotel room pretending to deliver a package. The young singer was eating chicken with John Foss, the trumpet player from his band. When Keenan pulled out a gun and demanded money from the duo, he and Amsler tied the band member up, whose presence they had not planned for, and walked Frank to their cars. Soon as Foss got himself untied, he called the cops. The authorities were already on the lookout as Keenan and Amsler made their way to Los Angeles with Junior in the car. I said, "Frank, your friend's gonna get up before we get out of Lake Tahoe, and I'm concerned that there's going to be gunplay." Keenan later explained to the New York Times, "There's one way that we can work this out, and that's if you got to play along with us, and we just pretend that we're just a bunch of guys having a good old time." Junior complied, and at one point on the drive, Keenan, talking his way out of a police roadblock with ease. 400 miles later, they arrived safely in Los Angeles, where Keenan called Irwin. Irwin, who had initially been involved in the planning but had not joined them in Tahoe, came to the outpost, and it was he who placed the call to Sinatra on December 10th, demanding $240,000 for the safe release of his son. On the morning of December 11th, the FBI dropped the money off at the location Irwin specified. When Keenan and Amsler went to pick up the money, Irwin got nervous and released their hostage. The 19-year-old walked for a while, ending up in Bel Air, and found a security guard to drive him to the home of his mother. The money had been collected, Junior was home, and all seemed quiet for a few days. The kidnappers appeared to have gotten away with the crime, but on his way to hide out in New Orleans, Irwin stopped at San Diego to visit his brother, who, after Irwin divulged his recent doings, proceeded to call the authorities because why? Let's fucking brag about it. The FBI captured all three men that day, and nearly all of the ransom money was recovered. Wow. I mean, that's just, that just blows my mind. Just blows my mind that they were able to kidnap Frank Jr. And that didn't really, you know, make the headlines, of course, because you were going up against the assassination of JFK. So, anyway, in the movie theater, and I just rewatched this morning, actually, The Great Escape. Loved that movie. The Birds, we talked about that at Christmas. Christmas, Rob, that's a great fucking Christmas movie. At Halloween, Lord of the Flies, that's a great movie. Cleopatra, that's a fucking investment. From Russia with Love, it's a mad world. Great movie. McClintock, like that one. Bye Bye Birdie. Oh, and Margaret in that. Oh, my God. The Nutty Professor, Jason and the Argonauts, Flipper, Sunday in New York, like that movie, and The Pink Panther. And on TV in 1963, they had three channels to choose from. And on those were Astro Boy, Chiller Theater, The Danny Kaye Show, The French Chef with Julia Child. By the way, if you've not gone on to, I believe it's Max, and watch Julia, it is very interesting. And she was a hoot. She really was. The Fugitive was on. General Hospital. There was a lot of individual shows like Jerry Lewis Show, Jimmy Dean Show, Judy Garland Show. Let's Make a Deal. That came on. The Outer Limits. Patty Duke. The Richard Boone Show. The Sid Caesar Show. Tennessee Tuxedo and His Tales. And Marlon Perkins made his way from the jungles to the Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. And of course, our topic for today is the X-Men's birth. So stick around after these words from some of my fake sponsors.
Big knockers, little knockers, or maybe no knocker at all. And just like the knockers we have, the knobs come in all different sizes as well, not to mention colors and shapes. At Knobs and Knockers, we have our selection on display for you to handle and feel what fits your lifestyle the best. And if you don't see either knobs or knockers that turn you on, ask one of our friendly staff to take something out for you to fondle. Knobs and Knockers, located in the SNM Family Fun Center Plaza, next to the Shack of Sit. As a dog lover, I want to make sure my fur baby is clean and well-groomed. And if you are unsure how to properly groom, trim nails, and a variety of other things, that good pet care involves contact one of our friendly professionals today. Doggy Style, located in the Hilltop Shopping Center at 69 Bend Over, we offer a variety of services not the same old, from grooming to nail trims, and even that nasty job of popping the old shit-zit from the anal glands. Doggy Style is a great experience not just for your pet, but also for you. Once you try Doggy Style, you will be glad you did.
Any claims of time travel are purely fictitious and are only meant for entertainment purposes. And honestly, if you believe Rob can travel through time, I only have one question for you. What the hell is wrong with you?
All right, welcome back from that break. This week, as I said, we're going to be talking about the X-Men. And they published the first edition in Marvel Comics in 1963. The title was created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, and it was met with a lukewarm reception and eventually became a reprint only in books in 1970. Interest was rekindled in 75, the giant size X-Men number one, and debut of the new international team. The series grew in popularity worldwide, spawning a franchise of numerous spin-off X-Men books like The New Mutants, X-Factor, Excalibur, X-Force, Generation X, and other flagship titles such as X-Men, later New X-Men, and X-Men Legacy, Astonishing X-Men, Uncanny X-Men, All New X-Men, Amazing X-Men, Extraordinary X-Men, and X-Men Gold. Fuck, you mean, I gotta tell you, that's hard to just read that. That's kind of a tongue twister. Wow. Anyway, the series launched in September of 63, and it introduced in the first issue the original five X-Men. Was Angel, Warren Worthington III, Hank McCoy, Beast, Love Beast, Scott Summers, Cyclops, as we all know, Bobby Drake as Iceman, and Jean Grey as Marvel Girl. And, of course, their teacher, Professor Charles Xavier, as Professor X. It also introduced their nemesis, the supervillain, Eric Mangus Langshear, or more commonly known as Magneto. Initially published bi-monthly, it became a monthly with issue number 14 in 1965. Lee's run lasted 19 issues and featured the X-Men battling villains such as Magneto's Brother of Mutants, which included the siblings Wanda Maximoff, the Scarlet Witch, and Pietro Maximoff, Quicksilver. The Sentinels, those were giant robots that were programmed to destroy all mutants, and their creator, Bolivar Trask, and Kane Marco, the Juggernaut. And the Juggernaut is actually Xavier's stepbrother, transformed by a mystical gem and seeking revenge on Xavier. Huh. Guess I didn't know that about Juggernaut. The series was firmly placed in the Marvel Universe with guest appearances by Namor, the Submariner, and the Avengers. The jungle adventure hero Kazar and the Savage Land were introduced. It also introduced the new X-Men to Polaris and Havoc. After a battle with the Hulk in 1970, the title ceased publishing original material and featured reprints until 1975. Despite the title going into reprints for the next 5 years, the X-Men continued to appear in other Marvel titles throughout this period in guest starring capacities or cameo roles. The Angel appeared without the X-Men in a three-part story involving the murder of his father at the hands of his uncle, Bert Worthington, a.k.a. the Dazzler. Iceman made a guest appearance in The Amazing Spider-Man in 1971, where he battles Spider-Man after mistakenly assumed that he abducted Gwen Stacy. Now, I do want to also expand on that. So those of us who grew up watching Spider-Man, and you're like, Spider-Man and his amazing friends. Well, Iceman and Firestorm were his roommates. Well, Iceman was an X-Men. And then, of course, you saw that in one of the X-Men movies. Later realizing his error, they team up against corrupt politician Sam Bullitt. Iceman appears alone again in the Marvel team-up in 1974, where he teams up with the Human Torch from the Fantastic Four to battle Equinox. Cyclops, Marvel Girl, and Angel also make a brief appearance in that storyline. The Beast started his own series in Amazing Adventures in 1972 after accepting a position with the Brand Corporation and decides to leave the X-Men for good. The original team appeared briefly in a flashback and in present-day cameo. Professor Xavier and Marvel Girl briefly appeared in Amazing Adventures in 1972, and the Angel helped the Beast defeat the Griffin in Amazing Adventures. After his run on that series ended, the Beast battled against the Hulk alone in 1973. I can't see Beast being able to beat the Hulk. I just can't. That concluded a storyline which began in Amazing Adventures. Havoc and Polaris also recounted in a flashback after they leave the X-Men after a bitter quarrel with Iceman, and they moved to New Mexico. In a present-day appearance in the same issue, they encounter and battle the Hulk, who mistakes Polaris for his former lover, Jarella, and a biker gang. As a team, the X-Men assisted Spider-Man in capturing Michael Morbius in after one of Xavier's colleagues is abducted by the vampire. In Adventure into Fear in 1974, it's recounted in a flashback how Morbius escaped from the X-Men's mansion. Professor X and Cyclops appear in this one in a brief cameo. They also appeared in the Avengers in 1973, where Professor X and the X-Men are abducted by Magneto after an ambush at Xavier's mansion, later rescued by the Avengers, Daredevil, and the Black Widow. Soon after, members of the X-Men, including Iceman, Angel, Beast, Havoc, and Polaris, and members of the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants are seen secretly being abducted by a group of hooded figures known as the Secret Empire. At this point, only Professor X, Cyclops, and Marvel Girl remain active, and after a brief cameo at the end of The Incredible Hulk in 74, where they discovered an unconscious Juggernaut after battling the Hulk, they seek out the help of Captain America and the Falcon. This led to the first Secret Empire story, which ran in Captain America in 1974. Professor X made a few brief appearances of his own without the X-Men during this time in the Avengers. He also made a cameo appearance assisting Reed Richards and General Thunderbolt Ross in containing the Hulk, and later appearing briefly on screen in Shanna the She-Devil to warn Shanna of an unknown mutant threat, Necra. In The Defenders, Professor X teams up with the Defenders to battle Magneto and his reformed Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. It was in this battle that Magneto and the Brotherhood were reduced to infancy by Alpha, the Ultimate Mutant. Xavier also made one final solo appearance during this period in the giant-sized Fantastic Four, where he assisted the Fantastic Four in subduing Multiple Man. X-Men was relaunched in 1975 with the giant-sized X-Men number 1. The title featured a new international team consisting of Scott Summers, Cyclops of the United States, Ireland's Sean Cassidy, known as Banshee, the Japanese mutant Shiro Yoshishida, Sunfire, and everybody's favorite mutant, James Logan Howlett, Wolverine, from Canada. Along with new characters, Aurora Monroe, Storm, out of Kenya, and German Kurt Warner, Nightcrawler. P. Pietro Peter Rasputin, Colossus from Russia in the Soviet Union, and John Proudstar, Thunderbird, a Native American. In this relaunch, the original X-Men left the team with the exception of Cyclops. Sunfire also left, having agreed to assist the X-Men on only one mission. Thunderbird was killed. Marvel Girl became Phoenix. The series title was then changed to the Uncanny X-Men in October of 1978. For the remainder of that decade, the X-Men fought enemies such as Stephen Lang and his Sentinels, Magneto, Banshee's cousin Black Tom Cassidy, Kane, the Juggernaut, Shi'ar, that is Eric the Red, and the Imperial Guard, as well as Arcade. Wolverine's former colleagues, the Canadian superhero team Alpha Flight, and McTaggart's son Protus. The Dark Phoenix saga in 1980 led to a change in the lineup of the team with the death of Jean Grey, and Cyclops leaving the team to mourn her loss. Over the 30 or 40 years, the X-Men saw several changes, with a lot of storylines expanding on the characters, not to mention all of the X-Men titles, up to 30-plus stories going at one time. The X-Men have seen animation with Pride of the X-Men in 1989, X-Men Animated Series, which I think is an amazing series, in 92, X-Men Evolution, 2000, I didn't really care for that one. Wolverine and the X-Men, that was in 2009, that was like, eh, I don't know. Marvel Anime X-Men in 2011, Wolverine 2011, and now on Disney Plus, X-Men 97. And that's going on right now. What I have understood is I think that is continuing the storyline from the animated series from 92 through 97. That's what I understand. I haven't watched it yet. The X-Men also have had live action. There was Gen X in 1996, Mutant X in 2001, Legion in 2017, The Gifted 2017, and then finally the X-Men movies, and there's a lot of them. The X-Men in 2000, X2 2003, X-Men Last Stand 2006, X-Men Origin Wolverine, The Wolverine 2013, Logan in 2017. Now the prequels were these: X-Men First Class in 2011, Days of Future Past in 2014, Apocalypse in 2016, Dark Phoenix in 2019. We can't forget Deadpool in 2016, Deadpool in 2018, that's Deadpool 2, and this year, and of course I haven't seen it yet, Deadpool and Wolverine. And then in 2020, there was The New Mutants. Now, if you're not a comic book person, it can be a little confusing. Who's part of the right universe? That type of stuff. It's very difficult to explain it to someone who doesn't quite understand the whole multiverse idea. But although the X-Men are not part of the MCU, they should be, and that is my personal opinion. But then again, as of this recording, neither is the Fantastic Four, Ghost Rider, Venom, Silver Surfer, Namor, or Blade. Those are all not part of the... They've not incorporated those into the Marvel Universe yet, the MCU. But we can all hope that they will. But until they do, we do have these upcoming Marvel movies to enjoy. I already mentioned Deadpool and Wolverine. Later on this year, Venom The Last Dance. I'm really kind of intrigued by that one. Captain America Brave New World 2025 is when that comes out. Thunderbolt 2025. that is going to expand on General Ross, as he was known as Thunderbolt. I don't know much more than that. Fantastic Four, they're going to try that again. Hopefully they get it right this time rather than just trying to put out a politically correct fucking movie. The original, the first Fantastic Four movie that they did, I loved, with Jessica Alba and Chris Evans as Johnny Blaze. I did not like the reboot. I just didn't. Thing looked horrible, but in 2025, Blade is going to make another appearance. I don't know if that's going to be a continuation or if that's going to be a reboot. The Avengers and the Kang Dynasty in 2026, and Avengers Secret Wars in 2026. But when I looked to find any information on these, like I said, it was spotty at best. So I really want to thank you for all of your support, all of the times you listen, hitting that like and share, reaching out to me through the website. You know, I do this as therapy for myself, but I do it for you. And, you know, sometimes I just take for granted that people should be listening, which they should. But where I do this all on my own with me and Harley, and she's not pulling her weight, she's basically just supervising. It's still a labor of love. And sometimes I get a little bit burnt and I need to take a break. And that's what we're going to do for the next month. We're going to take a break. So please listen to some reruns. Go onto the website. You can actually scroll down. Now, if you do it on your phone, hit those three lines, it'll take you in a little deeper. You can go to the desktop. Again, look for those three lines, and it'll get you in there a little deeper. We've got some memorial pages. I've got a section that is completely dedicated to all of my fake sponsors. So if you just want to hear the commercials, you can go right there. You can also drop me a line through there. So wish us luck fishing. I don't want to be a part of the no luck club. And hopefully that I don't get too badly sunburned. So we'll see you in July when it's hotter than the devil's nutsack out there. And I won't want to be out smelling like bacon frying next to the lake. Have yourself a great month. Have yourself a safe month. Thanks again for listening.
This has been Generation Extraordinary. The views and opinions are Rob's and Rob's alone. Any claims of time travel are purely fictional. The music and audio clips are not Rob's or GXO's, and in most cases were downloaded through his paid YouTube subscription and are only used for entertainment purposes. GXO is a production of Popeye Enterprises. Its host, creator, producer, and editor is Robert Pop. Co-producer is Harley Quinn. If you are a fan of the show, please show your support by going on to Spotify and follow us, like and share. It seems like such a small thing to do, but it really does help. For more information, support, suggestions, or to contact us, go to the website www.genxord.com. Thanks for listening.